It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
We're some of the only people in this world that can really date because of this crazy thing called COVID. I want to know so much more about you. I want to know, sincerely, about those demons.
Every second I'm here, that's 1 second I've taken away from being with my child.
Honestly, I get it. My mom is dying.
Congratulations, you've just blown up the Bachelorette.
But I like more so in the beauty and lifestyle space.
Cool.
What about you?
Me, I am a medical malpractice defense attorney in New York City.
Those guys can come at me all they want, Batman and Robin. I'll be Superman, so actually, I'll be Wolverine, because that's kind of my nickname.
I'm here for love, not for breastfeeding Noah.
There are actually four components of emotional intelligence. One is self-awareness. Two, self-management. Three, social awareness. And four, relationship management. I think you are deficient in three of those four.
It was like on my first girlfriend in sixth grade. And that's my cheating story.
I personally think you're an ostentatious Harvard D-bag and you're a condescending. I really do. I don't see us being friends after this.
You love her. It's not even a question.
I'm in love with her.
I go to some of the reunions,
yeah.
And then all the girls, they go like, hey, Neil, look at that, you know, look at that. And I said, wow. And now they have babies.
I
think Catherine and Sean have two or three.
I know that I told you that I love you. But. Sorry. More than that.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and we have a very special episode for you today. We're going to be going through the top 10 takeaways from the season of Bachelorette that recently concluded season 16.
A historic season, shooting pushed 5 months. Arguably the most anticipated Bachelorette season ever. We had a lot of crazy shit happen this season. We had forced nudity on multiple group dates in a row. We had a Neil Lane infomercial, 2 Love Level 4 resurrections, our first 2 Latinx Bachelorette crowns.
And I would also say, one of the things that happened this season that I found most interesting was the strange nature of its placement within the year of Bachelor Media. Because usually, Bachelorette airs May, June, July, and runs right into Bachelor in Paradise. Usually there's like a month and a half break between Bachelor and Bachelorette, where all these players can kind of get their Instagrams in order. Usually on Bachelorette, some of these players would be on Paradise, so they can then boost their Instagram following a little more. None of that is happening. Wherever these players ended up at this season, it's pretty much iced. That's it, because Bachelor starts in a week. So none of these players had the regular run at Instagram numbers that we're used to seeing, but still some of them, like Chase and Nick, are just trying to go hard in the paint all day long on their Instagrams. And it's like, it's over, dude. You have what you have. Like, be thankful for that and move on. This is not happening for you.
We were just having a very long discussion about Chase and Nick on Instagram before we started this. We're like, we should just record. But he is working that parasocial game. He is making TikTok videos. He is liking all the photos of Matt James players, et cetera, et cetera. He is in there. He is like a little engine that could.
Bennett is doing that too, by the way. He's putting out
That's true.
A best of reel with all the different people that he's taken selfies with and videos with and shit like that. He's really trying to milk it as well, despite saying, by the way, in an interview on Happy Hour that he would not go on Bachelor in Paradise. That's not for
him. So many people sent me that, and I was like, are you sending this to me like you believe it?
Yeah,
like,
come on. Exactly. That motherfucker is going to be pina colada in hand, sunglasses on, feet absolutely in the sand. We will be seeing that.
He's going to be shirtless with a scarf. I guarantee you 100%. I bet my children's lives on it. My children are my my Christmas tree and my plants.
Well, I hope they survive, and I'm sure they will.
Bennett posted that series of selfies with every player from the season, and I looked at that for a very long time because the first one is him with Tyler Cameron. Okay, not in this season. And then it goes back, and the very last one is him with Zach Clark. I'm like, oh, I don't think he likes Zach, or he didn't like how he looked in that photo.
It just allows him to tag every one of those people, and that will get him whatever it gets him. But it was an historic season, and now we are going to break down for you our top 10 takeaways, and then at the very end of this, we're going to tell you who our MVP for the season was, what our biggest play of the season was, and what the biggest error of the season was as well, mm-hmm, because there were a few that were pretty costly, unfortunately, for some of these players. But let's just dig right in, shall we?
We shall.
These events, by the way, are ranked in order of importance. So, starting at number 10, we have the Bennett-Noah rivalry. The rivalry has been an important part of our beloved game all the way back to, from our records, season 2 of The Bachelor was really the first active rivalry. And of course, that has evolved over the ages to deliver us things like Luke P. and Garrett Powell with the baloney eyes, to deliver us things like Caitlin Miller-Keys and Hannah Brown, who were a rivalry before the show that the producers cast as a rivalry. That rivalry started in episode 1 of that season.
Season 2, we had Christy Weibel was in a rivalry loosely with Suzanne Freeman and with Heather Cranford, but it's like they didn't really have the rivalry thing worked out to the place where it is today, where it's one player versus one player, and you can build that into a two-on-one date. I mean, at this point, it's some of the most iconic memories from the entire show. You had a very infamous two-on-one date on season 19, Chris Soules' season, between Ashley Iaconetti and Kelsey Poe in the Badlands. This was the first two-on-one date that was in a hostile environment, and then they started doing that from then on.
And they had the shot, I remember, they get in a helicopter and fly away, and Ashley Iaconetti is just left alone in the desert, and you assume she's just going to be left there to die, and that's how two-on-ones end now.
I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, if that had been Bennett and Noah, if they had been on a normal season, and then Tayshia could have helicoptered away from both of them in the desert like that. I would have loved to see it.
Well, that is now what the modern rivalry has become. It's always building to a two-on-one. That's where the producers are trying to get it. And here in this season, it was interesting because they couldn't really do a two-on-one, so they had to force this strange, in quotes, two-on-one date or whatever right before a cocktail party. That included, of course, Bennett giving the gift to Noah that is now infamous with the book about the four components of emotional intelligence, where he tells him he's deficient in three.
But he really meant four.
While all these things were funny, the thing I kind of took away from this rivalry this year is that it felt very manufactured. I didn't at mm-hmm. any time feel like these two guys really didn't like each other, especially when Noah winds up on Mental All accepting the sippy cup and drinking out of it exactly. Like it's a funny joke.
The there sippy cup no moment to me was guys. Like, oh, this is completely contrived. And they both know it's helping both of them, so they just play it up.
That said, they were, in my opinion, kind of the funniest characters. They were the biggest, loudest characters, and the producers at least could identify that and force them into this rivalry, which did take up a pretty significant portion of a few episodes in the middle there after Tayshia took over the crown.
And it allowed Noah Erb to crack the 100K club. He's at 109,000 followers. And Bennett's at 178K. So they did better than most of the players this season.
Yeah, these are fine paradise numbers. And what they did in the rivalry really was an audition for paradise. You want to see that rivalry stoked again on sand. Now, we don't know ultimately who the fuck's going to be in paradise. In a normal season, they certainly would be in, 100%. But we still, again, have an entire season of Matt James, another Bachelorette as well, whoever that's going to be, and we have no idea, before we even touch sand, before those tickets are even booked, before there's even alcohol at the resort, we have to go through two more seasons.
Is it going to be the most competitive Bachelor in Paradise ever?
Yes.
Yes.
100%. Because think about, like, sometimes they have to, on Paradise, bring in a night one guy, a night one girl, just to do some kind of goon-style head cracking. Go in there and wreck this shit. Go break up that relationship or form a love triangle with that, whatever.
Yeah, I remember Onesie Izzy came back, and she was a night one girl.
Or the guy, I don't even remember his name, but when Clay and Nicole started dating on BIP, I believe that was 6. I think it might have been the last season, or 5. Do you remember they sent in that guy to just start making out with Nicole immediately? And then Clay almost gets in a fight with him and all that shit. Jordan Kimball, I think, got involved in it as well. I don't think there's going to be the need for that. I think we may see a paradise with no night one guys, no night one girls, and it's just all like top 6 and above. A true all-stars.
Can't wait.
I know. At any rate, number 10 was Bennett and Noah's rivalry. It was ultimately what felt like to me a faked rivalry, but nonetheless, it served the correct dramatic function, and we did get some of the season's funniest moments out of it, I think.
I agree, although I do still think we should have been able to see the footage of Tayshia opening all of the elements of the box. We saw her ask what's in the box, and we never saw her see it.
There is so much footage from this season. I think this season has the most secret tapes of any season. I mean, yeah. There's a fucking Phantom Night 1. There's Tayshia opening the box. There's also Tayshia and Rachel having conversations about Donald Trump. Like, that footage fucking exists. God, there's JoJo's tings. There's a bunch of JoJo footage we just ain't ever gonna see. It's all buried in the fucking desert. There's Hannah Ann Sluss footage.
There's Blake Moyne's boner tapes.
There's Blake Moyne's clay dick. Anyway, we digress. That was number 10.
Oh, number 10. All right, we are 10% of the way through.
Noah's. Fuck. That was number 10. Okay, so moving on. Number 9. Number 9 is a huge event that took place this season. It is something we have literally never seen before in Bachelor or Bachelorette. It was, in many ways, the logical continuation of a trend that has been happening in our beloved game for the past 4 or 5 years, maybe?
Since season 20. Ben Higgins.
Although it wasn't a surprise, necessarily, it was the pinnacle of this trend. It took it in a direction that was so overt. It was, in some ways, a little shocking to me, I guess, but certainly groundbreaking, certainly something we've never seen before. The number 9 takeaway from this season was the rest of our top 10 takeaways from this season, season 16 of The Bachelorette, are all available on our Patreon. Patreon.com/Game of Roses.
You guys are going to want to listen to this episode. We have done a very thorough breakdown of everything that is important about the Clayshia season. And at the end of our top 10 Clayshia takeaways, we are going to be giving our errors of the season. We're going to be giving our plays of the season, our MVPs of the season, and even our Jorge Moreno bystanders of the season, which I know is the moment you've all been waiting for.
And our Patreon account, which we lovingly call the bottom of the pit, now has videos from our pregame live shows, a bunch of episodes that we've put in there at this point, weird music videos that I put in there, all kinds of stuff, pictures of squirrels, if that interests you. There's a lot to dig through. we've been doing this for some months now, and the depth of the pit continues to grow, and we are filling it always with new stuff. So there's a lot to dig through now. There will be more in the future, and we have some plans for some new things that we're going to be doing very soon as well.
We are going to be continuing our live pregame show before every episode, a half hour before it airs on the Pacific Coast. We are doing a YouTube live, which the link is available on our Patreon, and you guys can ask us questions, let us know your screams, and we will give our predictions for every episode.
So we hope to see you very soon in the bottom of the pit. Join us.
Praise be Lord Harrison.
It's the pit, you can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit, come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit, there's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit, you can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit, come on, admit you wanna eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit, there's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.